I know that the kids need to go out to children's ministry. I'm going to be bringing the word this morning. I don't know if there's a bit of a echo there or something. So I want to start by just saying that we're actually going to be doing a hike on Saturday morning. And we have a hikers club WhatsApp group. David is responsible for that group. I don't know where David is. They're right in front of me. Sorry, I'm looking beyond. So if you would like to join us, please chat to David. If you want to be added to that WhatsApp group, chat to him. This one on Saturday is up at Colquhierville, and we start at a restaurant called 1969. And you go up to a blockhouse from the Anglo-Boer War. So there's a bit of history. There's some beautiful information down at the restaurant. And it's a really nice hike to do. And it's quite easy. It's 6 kilometers in all. So it's not, well, there's a bit of a hill. But yeah, so if you're not fit, well, then don't come. But you could just start and then maybe come back down to the restaurant. So, yeah, join us. It's at 7:30. We meet there at the restaurant. So I want to continue to speak into this topic, that the series that we're doing on discipleship for maturity. And at the beginning of the year, I was asking my father to just give me an idea of what 2024 was all about. And he spoke 4 words to me. He said 2024 would be a year of fullness. 2024 would be a year of maturity. It would be a year of wholeness and a year of fulfillment. So we like to hear things like, it's a year of fulfillment. Like, that stuff that I'm praying for, I'm going to see fulfillment. But when it comes to something like, okay, well, this is the year of maturing. This is the year of wholeness, of being fully whole. That's a bit more difficult, because that's not a situation where God can just wave that magic wand and make you mature. We know that maturity is a process. A baby does not become a Blake adult overnight. That baby goes through a process. And so this thing of maturity is a process. And it's a choice. We choose to be mature or we choose to be immature. And so a lot of what I'm going to be sharing this morning is really difficult stuff. Because I'm going to be poking into my heart and most probably into yours. Because a lot of this stuff is practical, real stuff that none of us really want to address. But my prayer is that you would be open to the Holy Spirit. We will have 2 choices in responding to this message. The one is that we can reject it and remain stiff-necked. No, that doesn't apply to me. Or we can say, oh, heck, yeah, that's a problem in my life. I need to address that little fox. So a sign of a mature believer, there would be many definitions, but I'm going to say this. A mature believer would be a well-rounded, disciplined follower of Christ, someone who is willing to be obedient and to pay the price, to make that sacrifice. I want to read from Jeremiah. I'm currently reading through the book of Jeremiah, and it's a really tough prophetic book to read, because they call him the weeping prophet. It's all about the nonsense of the people of Judah and how they resist what God is wanting to do, and how he is constantly trying to get them to do the right thing, and they just are stiff-necked and proud people that refuse to change their ways. And so he speaks of the imminent disaster that is coming, and they just tell him to shut up, which is generally what we do when a prophetic word is brought, or when that word is brought from a parent or an adult, or somebody who might be more mature in something, and they ask us to work at it, or to change our attitude, or to whatever it is. And generally our response is, I don't want to hear this. I'm not interested. So this is what Jeremiah says in chapter 6, verse 16. And he's basically saying what God has said to him. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads. Sometimes we need to take time to stop at that crossroad and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. Walk in those old godly ways and you will find peace. You will find rest. But, there's always a but, you reply, no, that's not the road that we want. God then says this, I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no, we won't pay attention. I want to encourage you, when the Holy Spirit, who has given you that thing called your conscience, that little soft voice that is speaking in your ear, when that voice says, wait, stop, listen to it. Because there's generally a very good reason why he's asking you to not proceed down that road. And I sense in my spirit that some of you are at a crossroads in terms of work, in terms of decisions. And you're not sure which way to go. Stop and listen to the voice of your Father. My prayer for this morning is that there would be Holy Spirit conviction and not the voice of the enemy who would want to bring condemnation. I know the difference. There are times when I just get a little bit sick and tired of me and who I am. And there can be this horrible condemnation. And I know that's not my Father. But there can be this beautiful, gentle voice of conviction. And then I know, okay, that's my daddy. And Susie, you need to respond to him. So that's my prayer for this morning. Signs of a mature believer. This list is long. I know that Gerard recently spoke on the thing of generosity and stewardship. And I know that he wants to bring something more around this area, so hopefully he'll do that quite soon. But I want to bring 5 points this morning of the signs of a mature believer. The first is this, that a mature believer is a person of his presence and a person of his word. A mature believer is somebody who is absolutely consumed by the desire to be in the presence of God and to be reading this word, because this word truly is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. That's the sign of a mature believer. Psalm 27 verse 8 says this, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. Evan, how often have you not heard the voice of your Father say, come and talk to me? And what has your response been? In Psalms it says, and my heart responds, oh Lord, not now. Oh Lord, no. This Instagram, this TikTok, it's consuming me. It's more important. Or is your response like the psalmist, Lord, I am coming? That's what it says. My heart responds, Lord, I am coming. That time spent with your Father will not happen per chance. It won't happen just because it's just going to happen. It'll happen because you've decided and made the choice to prioritize him over something, it will always be a choice. It will be time in the day where you will say, that's my time with my daddy. You will need to exercise discipline and self-control. You will need to set aside time. And it shouldn't be a chore. There should be a running towards it. I wrote this poem, how I long to be with you, just to be in your presence, the joy of knowing you and kneeling at your feet. Not a long list of to-dos, just the simple joy to be with you. Our Father desperately wants us to spend time with him. The first sign of a mature believer. Second sign of a mature believer, and I brought this in second, and this is the one that we're going to hate the most, fasting. Oh, no. I don't do that. Fasting, that's not for me. It's become something that is so not what we do. As a church, we fast every Wednesday. We call it Fasting Wednesday. And I know for many of us, including myself, sometimes I'm like, oh, Wednesday has come so quickly. And it's just that, Lord Jesus, I'm going to do this. It's actually helpful to do it corporately, because you know that there's others that are standing with you in this, that are feeling those hunger pains. What I love about a day fast is that it's just a day. Guys, it's just a day. It's not the end of the world. I know for many of the young guys, it literally is like, no, I can't do this. I know for my brother, he's like, Susie, I can't fast. And I'm like, boyo, if you can't fast, then fast something. Fast certain foods. We know the Daniel fast. For that day, just eat fruit and vegetable for the day. You can do it. Why would we do this? We abstain from food for spiritual reasons, for a spiritual desire to draw closer to him. It's a, we know that food is something that can consume us. We really do live for that next meal. I love my food. I love the taste of food. Now, it's a case of, okay, I'm not going to let that consume me. I'm going to just come into his presence and say, Jesus, I'm going to put that aside because I want to be consumed by you. I don't want this food to consume me and dictate to me how I live today, and that everything is about I need food. No, I'm going to put that aside. Derek Prince has a brilliant teaching on fasting, and I've got the little, they're short teachings. I can send them to you if you're interested. We did this with the ladies. It's a form of self-humbling. It's saying, I'm going to humble myself before you, my Father. Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus said this, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who are humble, those who humble themselves will be exalted. In Psalm 35, verse 13, we see David bringing a testimony. And he says this, I humbled myself through fasting. Okay, there we go. Ezra and Nehemiah, they were both involved in the rebuilding. Ezra in the rebuilding of the temple, and Nehemiah in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. They were massive, massive projects. What did they do before they started those projects? They called for corporate fasts. They fasted themselves, but they called for a public corporate fast. There's great power in corporate fasts. In 2 Chronicles 20, we see that a vast army is marching against King Jehoshaphat. And the word says that he was terrified. Are you in a situation where you are terrified? You're concerned. There's something that is very problematic in your life. What was his response? He ordered a public corporate fast. And he prays this, verse 9. So it's 2 Chronicles 20. It's a beautiful chapter. I would encourage you to read it. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. He says, he's praying now. Whenever we are faced by any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence, and we can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us, and you will rescue us. We are powerless against this great army. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Our eyes are upon you. We do not know what to do with this marriage of ours, Lord, but we look to you for help. We step aside, we take time to fast. We do not know what to do about our future, Blake. We spend a day in fasting. We spend 21 days doing a Daniel fast. Because we say, we're serious, Lord. We need your help. We need your intervention. Father, my finances. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pay these bills. We fast. This problem child. Oh, Jesus, I don't know what to do. We fast. We pray. And we fast. We renounce the natural to invoke the supernatural. Quote by Derek Prince. We renounce the natural to invoke the supernatural. It should not be a thing of if I fast. It should be a thing of when I fast. It becomes something that is a habit within my life. That is a sign of a mature believer. Third point. This is where it starts to get more difficult. Good stewardship. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something or someone entrusted to one's care. The careful and responsible management of something or someone entrusted to our care. One who stewards well that which has been given to them. That is a sign of a mature believer. One who stewards well that which has been given to them. So, if a good steward is somebody who manages things well, the things that has been entrusted to them, what are some of those things that God has entrusted to us? I'm going to start with this physical body, because that's how I started with life. I was given a body. How are we doing in that area of looking after our physical bodies? Susie's on her usual one. Yes, I am. How are you doing in the area of your diet? What are you putting into your body that is a temple of the Holy Spirit? How are you doing in that area of exercise? How are you doing in that area of getting enough sleep at night? Are you drinking enough water? My faithful water. You know that the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to shorten your life. And he's going to do that if you make choices at that crossroads every day, every moment of the day. There's little crossroads, and you have a choice. Is this body going to continue to carry me through into my 80s and my 90s? Well, and yes, as we get older, it's hard. Things creak more, and things hurt more, and we do everything that we can to help our bodies, but I don't want to be before my Father saying, oh heck, if only I'd done this or that, I could have journeyed longer and faster with you, Lord Jesus, if I'd only looked after, if I'd only had stewarded well this body that you've given me. We're called to steward our families. We're called to steward our children. Stewarding means that we're going to manage our household well, and we're going to lead by example. We're going to mentor. Gerald prayed a beautiful prayer about this thing of mentoring. We as parents and as older people are called to mentor younger people. And it doesn't require, yes, sometimes it's a coffee and it's a sit down, but often it can just be a 5-minute chat. I was having a 5-minute chat yesterday with Denrique, just some decisions. And it's just, this is what I'm sensing in the Holy Spirit, what he's saying to you. And it's just, it's a simple thing of, what are you saying, Father, and how can I impart this? And yes, it's by example. I was talking to somebody this week, they're just really struggling with a family that comes to their house that absolutely causes destruction in their house. And she says, what do I do? And I said, you tell them. You speak to the parents first of all. But then, if the parents don't do anything and they're just sitting there and they're allowing those children to run around with a cup of juice and the kids are eating everywhere and they're not sitting at a table and eating the food and they are going into the bedroom and they're causing chaos and the parents are not helping to clean up afterwards, well, you got to say something. You speak to those children and you speak to the parents. I'm speaking to you as parents here today. I want you to know that this place is very special to me. My house is very special to me. And if you come in and your kids are running riot and you're not doing anything, I will do something and I will speak to them. And if you get offended, I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with that offense, but you should be. If you go to a home group, you should be making sure that your kids, yes, they're going to run around. Yes, they make noise. That's what kids do. But if they've made a mess, clean it up afterwards. Go into that bedroom where you know those kids have been causing chaos and get the rest of the kids. I would always go into that room and say, okay, kids, come, let's tidy up. At least make it a little bit more respectable. Same here in the church. If your kids have gone into that back room and caused havoc, have you even bothered to go in there to check what they've done? I can tell you they've messed it up. Please, steward well, and go in there and sort it out, or get them to sort it out. We're supposed to be lights that would shine brightly. Lord Jesus, help us in this area. How are you stewarding in terms of your possessions? Your car, your house, your garden? How does it look? Is it a shining example of Jesus Christ and his excellence? People always go on about my OCD. No, it's excellence. I like things to look good. I like my lawn to be cut. I like my car to be clean. Because he has called me to excellence. And I might annoy people. I'm sorry. But we are supposed to be the example of how things are to be done. And we're supposed to steward what he has given us. We pray for that house. We pray for that car. And then we drive around and it gets cleaned once every 6 months. Or in Nathan's situation, it gets cleaned when he comes to my house. Because I clean his car. I'm on his case all the time. Boy, God's gifted you with that car. You'd better clean it. And I'm praying that he's going to get that revelation. It's important. How are we stewarding our jobs? You know those jobs that we prayed for? Are we working with excellence? Are we working in such a way that it doesn't matter whether the boss is watching or not? If I work until 5 o'clock, I work until 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter that the boss left at 3. He wouldn't know if I was there or not. I just have this inbuilt, my God is watching. My God is watching. When I'm at the council and those council officials are asking for that Coke or for that little something to get the job done quicker, I say, I'm sorry, I can't help you in that regard because this is your job. This is what you've been paid to do, and God is watching you, and you will not be blessed. And they immediately back off and go, oh, how can I help you? And I've actually emailed them when I know that they are not doing what they need to do because they want money out of me. And I've emailed them and I've said, do you understand that if you continue to be an obstruction to getting this letter, it's a simple letter, released, that you will not have the favor and blessing of God upon your life? I have told them that. And there has very quickly been a response. Thank you, Jesus. How are you doing in the area of stewarding your calling and your gifting? Some of you have musical giftings. Are you stewarding it well? Are you practicing on that instrument? Are you joining the band? We need musicians. How are you doing in that area of stewarding? The environment. Oh, Susie's on her rant again. Do you know that he's given us this beautiful creation to look after? That means that I'm not going to throw that packet of KFC out the window. I refuse to do that. I'm not going to throw the rubbish on the floor and expect somebody else to pick it up. It's my responsibility. I don't care that your car's now clean. What about the outside? Recycling. Can't we just recycle? It's a simple thing. I just put all of my recycling stuff out for those precious people that come and take the stuff. They have to go through my bin. I'm not going to make them do that. I put my recycling into a separate thing, and I put it outside for them so that they don't have to, in a demeaning way, have to go through my rubbish. They're helping me by recycling, by taking that stuff. Let's help them. Let's show a bit of respect to them. Stewarding your church. If you see something wrong here, don't come and tell me. Sort it out. Or speak to Milan. Oh dear. How are we stewarding this town, our nation, in terms of spiritually stewarding? We're responsible for the spirit realm around us. And we can be praying and interceding for our schools, as we were doing this morning, for our town, for our municipality. Some of us can see into the spirit realm. We know exactly what's happening. Are we interceding and praying? Are we joining those prayer walks that we can be a part of? Are we at those prayer meetings where we can be corporately making a difference? How are we stewarding that? I'm responsible for the spiritual state of my region and of my nation. Stewardship. I'm finished with stewardship. Thank you, Jesus. But it links to my next point, which is also a really tough one. A sign of a mature believer, there would be faithfulness, there would be reliability, there would be dependability, steadfastness, commitment, dedication, consistency, all of that stuff that you want to read in your kid's school report. This child is consistent. This child is steadfast and dependable. Well, in the same way, we want that said of us as mature believers. Luke 16, verse 10. So I'm reading scripture. This is not Susie. This is scripture. Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus said this. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, oh, it's just a Coke for the corrupt official. No. If you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Sure, that's a hectic scripture, Lord. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Oh, this is hard, Lord. This is hard. This is a challenge. So the question is, speaks about trustworthiness. Are you trustworthy? When we say as a congregation that we are going to meet here at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, can we please honor our God and the other people here by being here at 9:30? Let's be trustworthy with our timekeeping. If we say we're going to meet somebody at 4 o'clock for coffee, let's meet them at 4 o'clock. And if we run in late, which I can often be doing, I message the person. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. I am so sorry. And I apologize as I arrive. I'm so sorry that I'm late. Let's have a bit of respect in that area, but let's be trustworthy. Let's be trustworthy with other people's things. You know, I want to bring testimony of the fact that God has been blessing Millen and myself and our extended family in incredible ways. And I know that Michelle has just got this testimony. Somebody has just blessed her with a motorbike, with a scooter, you know. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. And we go, oh, I want that. I want that. We want the blessing, but we don't want the years of sowing that goes in before that. Okay? So we have been blessed as a family. People have absolute, like almost strangers, released financial blessing over my son, over myself, over Millen, with just so many things. The wedding for Nathan, Shannon's tuition, just so much. It's been incredible. But recently, we had a situation. Some of you might have seen me walk into this meeting looking like death. We were supposed to get down to Nathan's wedding, and we had to take a trailer, and it was loaded with stuff. And Millen had been working faithfully for like 6 weeks on that bucky. But that morning, we thought we'd got it all sorted. And we're driving up Saki's neck, and there's just smoke coming out of that car. And Denrik is, Saki's neck, steam. Well, it looked like smoke. Oh, it was steam. Okay. Oh, it was the radiator, just so you know. It had to be replaced. Anyway. So Denrik's sitting with us, and I'm going like, Lord Jesus, this is crazy. This boy's coming with us for the first time on like a holiday, and we're trying to get down to this wedding, and we're in this car that's just like, it's not happening. But there was this wonderful gentleman in the church that in the week had said to Millen, if you need to borrow my Fortuna, it's there for you. So I walked into this building and just put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, can we speak to you? And I think he knew immediately. And you know, he just handed over that car. And we used that car to get down. We took that trailer. We had a sofa that flew off the back of that trailer. It was a very eventful drive down. I think by the time I got to Nathan's place, I was really a bit of a nervous wreck, and I'm generally not that person. I'm pretty calm, but flip, it was a difficult journey. But we were blessed with that car. And as I was driving, I said to Milan, who does this? Who just releases their car to be used by somebody? And then my father spoke to me and he said, you've done it. And I was like, oh yes, actually we've done this. We've let our bucky be driven all the way up to Malawi and back again to be used in a missions situation. We've lent our car many times to people as they've had to move stuff or as they've had to just borrow a car. And we've done it. So the thing is that we get blessed in this way. But we've been a blessing. And so we're just reaping what we've sowed. But the important thing is, how were we when we had that car? We return it with a full tank of petrol. We return it washed and cleaned. And we say thank you for this incredible blessing. We don't take it for granted. With my son's wedding, the church had blessed them with so much, and they had the reception in the church building. And it was just amazing. They left at about 10 o'clock that night. But did we just then pack up our stuff and go, bye, and walk out the door? No. That church needed to be returned to its rightful state. And so we spent the next 2 hours cleaning and washing and fixing, and the next morning we were back there to sort things out. If God blesses you with something, it doesn't matter how small it is, make sure that you're faithful with those little things, because then he's going to give you more and he will bless you with more and more. It speaks in that scripture about how we're faithful in the little things. When you say that you're going to do something, do it. When you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. If you want more responsibility, make sure that you're responsible with God, with what God has given you right now. I remember for years, we were in a church. Milan had led a church. He had been involved in ministry, but we were in a new church where they knew nothing. And we just quietly served. And they asked us to lead a home group. We led that home group well. There is one thing that Milan does so well, and that is he rightly divides the word. And he shows integrity when he shares the word. He doesn't just arrive there going, oh, what am I going to share tonight? Oh, let me just pull something out and just wing it. He spends time, and he was full-time on a construction site. He didn't have time in the day to prepare. He would prepare the night before. But he was faithful with that home group. And God blessed him with more because he was faithful with the few that he was given. And so God said, cool, you're faithful. I'm going to give you more. If you have a word of encouragement for somebody, God speaks something into your spirit. Jonathan, he speaks something into your spirit and you know it's God who's spoken. You do something with that word. You don't hold on to it. You release it. I want to encourage you young people. I was speaking to a friend of mine. She went through a massively traumatic childhood. And when she told me the whole story, I was in tears. I was just weeping and weeping. And I said, how did you survive your childhood? And she said, Susie, my Christian friends and my youth group, as young people, understand that you are going to come into contact all the time with young people especially that are wrestling and struggling with stuff. I pray that you are bringing hope to them. I pray that you are that ear to them. And when you know things are bad, and my friend, when things got really bad, those friends would speak to their parents and to that little Baptist church and to those youth pastors, and they would step in and say, we need to get her out of there. And that's what prevented her from suicide. So remember that word of encouragement. Share it. Be there for your friends. I want to say this. We have a youth group and we have a young adults group. We need help with those two groups, with leadership in those groups. If you in any way feel like you can get involved, please speak to myself, Millen, Gerald at the back there, Yaku and Christelle. We need help. That scripture speaks about, are you untrustworthy? It's 11 o'clock, I must hurry. Are you untrustworthy with worldly wealth? Can you be relied on to pay your bills on time? Your school fees, those fees for the extra maths, the music teacher, the gardener, the maid, your taxes, your tithe. Are you trustworthy with your finances, and are you trustworthy with those little people that aren't too important? You don't think they're important. Do you know that 350 rand that you pay your maid or that music teacher, it's very important to them. So be trustworthy in how you pay your bills. I want to just say thank you to each and every one of you who are faithful tithers. Those tithes pay for our rent. They pay for Millen's salary. They pay for the wages. They pay for the people that we support, for the haven, for the electricity, for those biscuits that you eat. I want to say thank you to those of you that are trustworthy and faithful when you pay your tithe and you know who you are. We need to be faithful with our service. Are you present and are you available? Do you operate in your giftings? If you are faithful in the small things, He will bless you with more. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't be a lazy Christian. Psalm 18, verse 25, it says, to the faithful, God shows Himself faithful. To the faithful, God shows Himself faithful, and I can testify to that. As we have sought first His kingdom and His righteousness, all of these other things have been added in incredible ways. Is it hard work? Yes, it is. It's called discipline. Let's do it. Last point. A sign of a mature believer is someone who is Holy Spirit filled and Holy Spirit led. It's one thing to be filled with the Spirit, but am I keeping in step with the Holy Spirit? Am I being led by the Spirit? So we know Galatians 5 verse 22. Galatians 5 verse 22. Fruit of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. If we are being led by the Spirit of God, we will be producing this type of fruit. So the question is this. Do I tend towards indifference and hatred? Or do I tend towards love? We all know those love, joy, peace, patience. We can say that. Let's look at the opposite. Do I tend towards hatred and indifference? Or do I tend towards love? Do I tend towards negativity and misery? That sour face. Do I tend towards that? Oh, Jesus, help me. Or do I tend towards joy? Help me, Jesus. Do I tend towards conflict and arguing? Oh, that person is just so argumentative. Or do I tend towards peace? I'm a peacemaker. I want peace. I'm not going to always argue. I'm actually going to release that. Do I tend towards impatience and agitation? Yes, I do. He's asking us to tend towards patience. Be patient. My daughter often says to me, Mom, be patient. Help me, Lord Jesus. Do I tend towards meanness and heartlessness, or do I tend towards kindness? Do I tend towards wickedness, or do I tend towards goodness? It's okay, Jackie. Do I tend towards unreliability? I'm just the unreliable one. That person, I just know, I can't trust them to be there. They'll say, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing that. Yes, I'm going to be there. But I just know they're not going to be there. Or do I tend towards faithfulness? Do I tend towards defiance and rebellion? I don't want to hear that. Or do I tend towards gentleness? I'm going to receive that. Do I tend towards excess, fickleness? Or do I tend towards self-control and discipline? There's just no control in my life. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit. Am I being led by the Holy Spirit with these giftings? Do I choose to fan into flame that gifting that He's given me, that where I'm used by Him, or do I just hide away? Do I just hide behind my insecurities and my fears? Do I always have an excuse why I won't step forward into that thing? Romans 8 verse 5 says this scripture. I'm reading scripture. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. Letting the sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And then in verse 14 it says this, all who are led by the Spirit of God are true, mature sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are truly the mature ones. Jesus, I want to be that person. So, He calls us to no longer live as immature babies, or always needing to be fed, always cared for, consoled. Oh, it's okay. You'll be okay. But rather to live as mature disciples and followers of Christ, equipped warriors in His kingdom. And so, in response to this word, I want us to stand. If you're okay with that. And I want to pray and I'm lifting my hands just in submission to Him, and if you want to do the same, you can do that. But I know, Holy Spirit, that if your refiner's fire does not come to do the work that is needed of sanctification in our lives, we cannot do this. I know, Holy Spirit, that if you do not bring conviction to my spirit, all this will do is sound like a whole lot of words of condemnation. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask, as we would just lift up our hands and say, yes, I need help in this area. I want to be led by you, Holy Spirit. I want to be a mature, disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be that person. I want to lift up my hand and say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. And so I would pray just for every person seated, standing here today, that if in any way they are not in a right place with you, Lord Jesus, that first of all they would know that the way in is so easy. It's a simple prayer of, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I repent of my nonsense, and I come before you and I say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And if you pray that prayer now, you have walked through those doors of justification. You are now covered by the blood of Jesus. But understand that then it is a walk of sanctification. And the Holy Spirit will help you, but you need to be led by Him. And so Jesus, help us in these areas of choices. Help us to receive the conviction of your Spirit in those little things that we know are problematic. I know that as we're just standing here, we're just seeing those things. One thing after the next, that's a problem. That's an area where you need to shine your light, Lord Jesus. That's an area that I need to work harder on. I need the empowering of your Spirit. And so do that now, I ask, in your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So thank you, everyone. I know it was a heavy word. And I was like, as I was preparing this yesterday, I was like, Lord Jesus, these people had better give me grace because it's a tough word. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be your light and we can be your ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us for coffee. There's really nice percolated coffee at the back there. It says filter coffee. Join us, especially if you are a visitor. We'd love to just connect with you. Okay, thank you.